special guest on the program is Harry Burkhart. Harry chairs Te Kahua Taonui. This is an umbrella group looking after the interests of our iwi based in Tai Tokura. And today we're talking about the appointment of Aparahama Edwards, who also, in a tribal sense, represents Ngāti Wai. He's been appointed the rep for Tai Tokura o Te Mātāwai. And also, because I speak with Harry fairly regularly, an opportunity to speak about this lockdown from the health perspective, because Harry chairs the Northland DHB as well. Thanks for joining us, Harry. A warm welcome to Pākehā. Kia ora.
Kia ora, Dale. Kia ora.
Firstly, can we talk about Aparahama Edwards? I had the pleasure of interviewing him earlier in the day, and, of course, a native speaker as well. Sometimes there are interesting tales of our real journeys, but certainly he's committed to the sharing of our reo, me ona tikanga. But his assessment, again, and warranted at this time, looking at the great strides that have been made in the last 30-odd years with kura and kohanga and wharekura and the like, Harry. So he seems to be a wonderful choice to represent the rohe on Te Mātāwai. What is it about him that you like?
Well, firstly, he was the result of quite a comprehensive process that Te Kahua Taonui and Tai Tokura iwi wanted to assure that we had the right person at the right place with the right skills looking forward for our whānau. So that process bubbled up Aparahama, but what was really encouraging for me was the depth of the other candidates who were sitting as part of that selection process. So my takeaway as the future of our reo in our corner is very healthy.
He's got beautiful reo, and you know, he's a talented guy. How many people put their name forward to represent Tai Tokura on Te Mātāwai?
There was five who put their names forward. What was encouraging about it was the width of age. So there was, you know, Aparahama's from that sort of third generation coming through, or second generation coming through. There were strong representation from hapū. There was strong representation from women as well. So we had we were very blessed with those who put their names forward.
And tell us about that selection process. Obviously, it was limited because of the situation we find ourselves in, no doubt. But what, seeing your CV, were the applicants able to be interviewed and the like? How did you go about this?
So just before we go to the process, I just want to acknowledge the leadership of Waihoro Shortland did for Te Mātāwai and for Tai Tokura as part of the initial process. So remember, Te Mātāwai came out of a legislative framework of how might we strengthen our reo. The process is actually relatively prescriptive. It talks to those iwi hapū who can be part of the process. So because Waiharoi was signalling he wanted to step down, we went ahead and pushed out a process which was creating an appointments committee from iwi who put their people forward, and then there was the second stage of asking for candidates or applicants, and then the third stage was that table went through and personally vetted and spoke to each one of them. So it was two ways. It was a robust process, but it was also a principled process. So we blended it with Aparahama being the successful candidate.
Well, he'll do a good job for you, no doubt, on Te Mātāwai. He's an impressive character. If you don't mind, Harry, as mentioned, Harry heads the Northland DHB. A little bit of uncertain waters ahead for both Tāmaki Makaurau and for the North, Harry, but maybe you can share some of your observations, if you'd be so kind, about the rollout of the vaccine, the numbers you're hoping will eventually be vaccinated, and what some of the challenges are getting those vaccinations to the people, or getting the people to the vax centres? What's the lay of the land from your read?
So probably if we take a summary of it, is this current government's lockdown early and hard appears to be showing fruit. So let's keep our fingers crossed on that, and we've got a bit way to go. And then it's clear that Auckland's the epicentre of this current outbreak, and the intensive infrastructure that's around testing and vaccination and follow-ups is the ability for the system to respond to that clear and present danger. So what we've noticed is taking a conversation that we had with DHB chairs and CEs, is once we get the bureaucracy out of our responses, we manage to get these very, very comprehensive responses that clear and present danger. So the drive-in vaccination centres have been a hit in terms of grabbing whānau in cars and vaccinating en masse, and that wouldn't have happened if we didn't have this clear and present danger in front of us today. So there's an anxiety and a reason for people to get vaccinated now. So in Taitokoro, we're noticing a slow response, and it's requiring us to think a bit differently about how we do rollouts. You know, it is clear that we have to have sort of local drive-in centres for our whānau to turn up, because my sense of that serious take on board to stay home, save lives, be safe. And then as we bring those services to our whānau, we're noticing also the corridor that those health providers and our kaumātakui are having with their taitamariki is having that conversation where we can have talk to them about why it is important to have vaccinations, understanding people have choice. However, we've got to be thinking really hard about the protection of our uri. So we're seeing a kind of a lag. My sense is we will get there. We're just got to be determined and focused.
What are you making of having to stay in level four with Tāmaki Makaurau? Do you agree with that? There are people up in the north, hoha with it. I know that hoha with Auckland is trying to travel north, mate, but maybe that's sort of eased back. What would you say of the alert levels that the northern people are being subjected to at the moment, Harry?
So we were pissed off right at the beginning, to be blunt. And so we've kind of gathered ourselves to be clear about what those key messages that are required to keep us safe signal to the government. It requires us to work closely with government agencies and police and the Ministry of Health and DHBs and Māori providers. Putting that aside is probably two key messages. One is what is lost by working closely with iwi and hapu, and secondly, a message for our current government: if you want us to trust you, you need to trust us. So that's us coming around on the quiet reality of increased risk, and let's see, fingers crossed, that we've come out of the back and we've got the appetite to learn from it.
So are you satisfied with the, well, there's been criticism of the messaging initially to our people that have been sluggish in getting the vaccination, so that's one thing. But also, are you satisfied that those who are making the decisions, predominantly out of Wellington, I might add, are they listening to Māori voices from the north, Harry?
The short answer is yes, but it's not filtering into what I call a cabinet sovereignty conversation. So they've taken on board that they're mandated to protect New Zealand. Our corridor is we can do that with you. And to my 2 points, there's no harm, there's no danger in us doing that with you. And secondly, if you want us to trust you, you need to trust us. So those, coming back on those basic notions, is going to be critical for us baking in our future responses.
As always, appreciate your thoughts, Harry. Thanks for talking about Aparahama's opportunity here to head our rail revitalisation work in the north, and also picking up some of the situation from the DHB's perspective. Nei rā, te mihi, kia hoi, te rangatira. Thank you. Thanks, Harry.
Kia ora, Dale. Kia ora.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.